The twinkling of cities at night always says to me, look at us as a species. This is what we do.
The City Dark is the story of the disappearance of darkness and the disappearance of night. When I moved to New York City, I realized something was missing from my life, something that had been very important to me growing up, spending a lot of time in rural Maine, which was my connection to the stars and the night sky.
That's Ian Cheney describing the genesis of his documentary, The City Dark. At first, he was just upset that he couldn't see as many stars in the Big Apple as he could in Maine. But that led him to wonder about
both the psychological effects of light pollution, what it means to us as people, what it does to our sense of the universe when we can't see the night sky, and also increasingly the physical effects of light pollution. How does excessive artificial light affect ecosystems and human health?
Cheney isn't alone in thinking about dark skies. He made a film about it. Others are working actively to promote it, to reduce light pollution, and to get us to think about what it means to be able to look up and see the heavens.
I'm Scott Cardell of the International Dark Sky Association.
The IDA, as it's called, is based in Tucson, and it's a part of Cheney's film. The organization works with astronomers, lighting manufacturers, and municipalities to promote dark skies, or more accurately, smart lighting. The aim is to reduce light pollution and, of course, save on energy costs. But Scott Cardell also says we lose something more when we lose the dark night sky.
For all the time there's been people on Earth, we've had this cycle of day and night where people could just instantly be out in the dark at night and experience a sky full of stars. That inspirational starry sky has influenced art and religion and science and cultures all across the world. And it's only within the last 150 years or so that that's been starting to go away. And so that common experience that all humans all over the earth had is vanishing.
Cardell says the International Dark Sky Association is making progress. Communities are showing interest in reducing light pollution for a variety of reasons.
Every time there's some national attention that could be drawn to the issue, that gives people a perspective that's beyond just astronomy. You know, how does light pollution impact wildlife? How does light pollution impact visibility and crime and energy? Those are things that are really good for people to think about, because light at night is something that most people just sort of take for granted. Typically, the impact of lights aren't considered other than, is it on? Does it work? And we would like people to think more broader and more deeply about that.
One group of people who think a lot about light pollution and dark skies, astronomers.
My name is Grant Williams. I'm the director of the MMT Observatory.
And also home to one of the largest, most sensitive telescopes in North America. The MMT is on Mount Hopkins, about 30 miles south of Tucson. When you're on the mountaintop at night, the lights of Tucson are clearly visible to the north, as is what's known as the Sky Glow Dome, that radiated light that hovers over the city. But despite its proximity to a major metropolitan area, Grant Williams says Mount Hopkins is still a good place for observing.
And part of the reason for that is the good outdoor lighting codes that Tucson has. And we work with the local communities to try to keep the outdoor lighting codes relatively strict so that it minimizes the impact on astronomy, but at the same time, you know, provides adequate lighting for the community itself. Are we marred by the impact of Tucson? I would say that in the direction of Tucson from Mount Hopkins, that's north, there's certainly an increased sky brightness, and that does impact our ability to detect fainter targets. Some of the targets that might be the most interesting targets may be cut off in the direction of Tucson. But directly overhead, we're still a relatively dark site.
Williams, like many of his generation, remembers a time when much more of the night sky was visible. He's also originally from a small town. And the idea of today's city kids seeing a fraction of the night sky most of their lives?
Well, there's no question they're missing out. You know, it does remind me of when I grew up and as a small child in a small town and looking up at the sky and you know, it being just peppered with these stars. And you just do not see that in a metropolitan area.
There's a scene in the film The City Dark where a group of Boy Scouts from the New York City area are out in the wilderness.
There's so much lights in New York City that you can barely see the stars. And when you look up, you only can see the reflection of what other lights are around the city. So then you look up and you can't see no stars.
You probably see maybe one or two stars.
But out in the woods,
No, you can see a lot more stars now.
Look at the sky, it's mad late.
It's all.
Look at that one.
Look up, yo, everybody turn off your lights. Turn off your lights for like a quick second.
Oh my God, there's like 100 stars.
I never seen the Milky Way.
Well, 100 stars might have seemed like a lot to him, but it really is pale in comparison to the 2,500 that you should be able to see on a typical clear night. And so you're really missing a tremendous amount if 100 is all you can see. And of course, if you can see a dozen or so, the sky is almost completely gone from someone's perspective like that.
Most human routines make no reference to the cosmos at all. So you might say, well, why do you need it?
If our civilization didn't see the stars and didn't see how big the universe was, would they come to believe that they're more important in this much tinier universe because that's all they see?
I worry that our lack of contact with the sky is doing something to us that's very subtle. Who knows what the ultimate effect will be?
I'm Mark Dugan, Arizona Public Media.